Just a reminder, you pay for these buildings and what happens inside them. You pay the salaries of the legislators. Now, you may not have as much money as the pharmaceutical companies, but guess who they represent? You. At the end of the day, it's you. Hi everyone, this is Elena Moore. I am standing right outside the Crescent building where they are, the Medical Affairs Committee is debating and hearing S-965, which is known as the Medical Freedom Bill. This bill really isn't actually helping medical freedom, because not only does it put in a complete chapter of code in the South Carolina Chapter 44 under the health title for COVID-19, it gives the ability to private employers to fire employees that are unvaccinated. They also put into the bill that it can require testing for anyone of their vaccination status. But the bill continues to go on and on. And the interesting thing about what is going on in the South Carolina House and Senate right now, the General Assembly and the legislature, is that there's several bills related to health freedoms or controlling that health freedom. The House has been seeing multiple bills coming through every single week. There is the House 3988 that allows pharmacy technicians to give vaccinations to children under the age of 18. Pharmacy technicians in South Carolina only have to have a GED or high school diploma. And only 1 hour of training is required in this bill for a pharmacy technician, to give a vaccine to a child. It's a very sensitive bill, and it's really scary because it's also being held up by the Speaker of the House. That's who's pushing this bill. He's pushing actually the vast majority of the bills. There's also two other bills that are being fast-tracked, and that's the interesting thing. A bunch of these are being fast-tracked all at one time within 2 months. We see them being filed in January, being heard in February/March, and then being pushed right through in February and March as well. There's also two health czar bills that are also being debated. That is going to be H-4927 in the House, and they passed that recently. And then the Senate version of 915. Now, these bills are a little different, but they're both really, really bad, because they centralize power to one individual that usurps power from the governorship and also from the General Assembly. Now, the legislators are arguing that, oh, this is good because it replaces DHEC. Well, it actually does a lot more than just replace DHEC. It centralizes power of six different agencies, renames some of them, and puts them all under one. They say, oh, well, we're just consolidating and streamlining. No, you're not. Not when you're taking all of these agencies that are already there, not changing them at all, and then just putting in separate positions over them, because it's not just the Secretary of Health they're trying to put in that would be appointed by the governor and confirmed by the Senate with no qualifications whatsoever. To remind you, our DHEC head right now, South Carolina's DHEC head, Dr. Simmer, is just a psychiatrist that has served in Guantanamo Bay. That's who makes all of the decisions for health and health care in South Carolina. Now they want to put another Secretary of Health over that and solidify it all in one area. It also goes even deeper into that, because not only does it give them powers like that, but there's already laws in the state of South Carolina under Title 44 that allows the head of health, the Department of Public Health, to use local law enforcement and possibly even the National Guard to enforce their orders for quarantine and many other things. So we've got at least four different bills right now that are very scary, very tyrannical, that are being heard in the House, and many of them have already passed the House and have gone on to the Senate or vice versa. One of the main arguments that they're using to pass these health czar bills, both S-915 and H-4927, these bills are something like I've never seen before. I'm going to be completely honest. The legislators are not only not, I don't know if they're reading the bills, but they're completely lying about what's in them. And when you call them out on what is actually in the bills, then they start lying even more to their constituents. One of the powers it gives to this Secretary of Health, this health czar that would be appointed with no qualifications whatsoever to rule pretty much over South Carolina and give whatever orders that they would like when it comes to quarantining or anything else, it gives the Secretary of Health complete power over data collection, which is something that DHEC has never had before. So not only are they getting your personal information, they're able to enforce that and know who's vaccinated and who's not, and to enforce that even further. Really, it's just a slippery slope that keeps on slipping. We see other health czars, Secretary of Healths, in other states. You look at Washington State, where they have their own Secretary of Health that is appointed by the governor. This position has for several years been very tyrannical. During COVID, they started, the Secretary of Health in Washington State started mask mandates. And to this day, there is still certain mask mandates that are going on in that state. It is now 2024, 4 years later. And the governor doesn't care. We have seen that we have a very weak governor in South Carolina. Governor McMaster has never really fired anyone off of one of his appointed boards or head of departments. And Dr. Simmer, the head of DHEC, all during COVID, he was mandating masks. There were many institutions that were mandating the vaccine, and DHEC was fully behind it. So now we are replacing really one tyrannical power with one that is even worse. Now, one of the main arguments that the legislators are saying is, oh, well, DHEC, you know, we restructured DHEC, took the public health department and the environmental control last year, and we split it up because really it was one department. That's not a bad idea. You need to have separate departments for both environment and public health. I get it. But the problem is when you don't have any accountabilities to those powers. That's what we're seeing with a lot of these bills, that they're saying, oh, it's going to give us more freedom. Read the bill. Read the laws we currently have. If you're going to do anything for the health in South Carolina, then start striking the current laws that were instituted back in 2002 that lets the public health have complete power to use law enforcement. We have sheriffs all across South Carolina that are standing up and telling their people to call their legislators, to tell them to vote no against this bill, because they don't want to have to enforce orders that they don't agree with, that would be tyrannical, that would take South Carolina from being a more republic legislative state and put us more into the camp of a dictatorship. We've seen this on the federal level. It's coming down to the state level. South Carolina is supposedly one of the most red states in the nation. You can't tell. There's nothing here that shows you that this is a red state. When you have the Speaker of the House, Merle Smith, who's an attorney for Prisma Health, and whose father, Dr. Merle Smith Sr., sits on the board of MUSC, South Carolina's own publicly funded medical school and hospital system. Pushing is the main sponsor and is pushing all of these bills. They have no idea what the physical impact is of these bills either. The other day on the House debate, it was on February 28th when the House was debating this health czar bill, their House version. The bill sponsor says they have no idea what the physical impact is.
About how much money does this cost to the taxpayer?
Ms. Magnuson, right now it's undetermined.
Oh, but maybe it's around $10,000. I'm sorry, but having three of the most powerful positions that South Carolina has ever seen, I have a hard time believing that's only going to cost $10,000 a year. But who's actually pushing all of these bills? Well, we've seen that the Boston Consulting Group, who places people on the board of the UN and pushes DEI all across the world and has pushed Pfizer vaccines multiple times, their goal is to put vaccines into arms. They are the ones that are behind this. South Carolina actually paid them over $5 million to do a study that was completely skewed on South Carolina of what we needed to do for our health department. They said, oh, well, we need to look at it and be more like Utah and Florida. Well, actually, if you look at the report done by the Boston Consulting Group, Florida, they don't think it's that great either. But that's just one of the lies the legislators will tell you about that. They want us to be all about California, who also has a very fractured health agencies, numerous agencies over there. But we need to be more like them because we need centralized power. So we have only one person calling the shots. I'm sorry, but if you want to do anything to help the people of South Carolina, then you need to start deregulating the current laws that we have in there. We have so many laws that are already hurting us. I mean, just take a look at Title 44, Chapter 4. It's terrifying, some of the information that's in there that has been instituted since 2002. We need to start going through and striking through what's currently in there. Or if you want to do anything to consolidate the health agencies in South Carolina, write into law specifically how the agencies need to work with each other. Because right now, they don't work together. It's a coconut shell game. But if you think putting several heads above South Carolina's agencies is going to help anything, it's not. We saw what happened with the State Election Commission when the South Carolina legislature gave the State Election Commission more power. What happened? It became more of a coconut shell game. Oh, it's the state's issue. Oh no, it's the county's issue. Oh no, it's the precinct's issue. We don't know really who to hold accountable for anything. So it's been very sad to see where the health legislation has gone in South Carolina when we see many constitutional-like legislators jumping ship. I mean, if you even look at the conflicts of interest with these pharmaceutical companies that these legislators have, it's terrifying. They receive a lot of money from them that's reported, but that's the ones that are reported. Remember, there can also be incentives, and those don't get reported. So I have written three different articles on these health czar bills, and then one addressing all of the lies, because there's been many legislators that I have made very mad over the past few weeks, because so many South Carolinians, all their constituents are calling them. People are upset about this, and rightfully so. But what happens instead? Oh, the legislators decide they're going to lie to their constituents. I'm sorry, but we've read the bills. Have you? Because it doesn't really seem like it. So hopefully we'll see that the medical committee actually kills this medical freedom bill. I don't think so. Because even when I have spoken to legislators before, they say they don't want to strike out the bad laws that are in the health czar bills. They just want to use this medical freedom to do it instead. Well, it doesn't actually do that. It strikes some and replaces more. I'm sorry, but it's not enough when you are going to allow private employers to fire their employees for just being unvaccinated. Vaccines are pharmaceutical products that carry risk of injuries and even death. We've got bills in South Carolina that not only force it, that if passed, would force you to take the vaccine, but we've got bills that allow children under the age of 18 to be given vaccines from pharmacy technicians that only have to have an hour of training and a GED to go along with it. An hour of training, that's not enough. Do they know what to do if someone starts having a heart attack after having it or has any complications whatsoever? I mean, we're talking about giving a child possibly lifelong complications and a risk factor of even death. Oh, but the parents. That might be another one of your arguments. What about the parents? No, they don't have to have any parental consent. One of the fun facts about South Carolina is that South Carolina doesn't have in their code of laws any law stating that there must be parental consent for a child to be vaccinated. We got a lot of issues going on in South Carolina. The bills are one of them. Our current laws is another. So I'll keep you updated on what happens in the Medical Affairs Committee. S-965 passed Senate Medical Affairs Committee with the Republicans voting for and Democrats voting against. More than likely, we're going to see another long fight ahead, along with the health czar bills, along with this pharmacy technician bill, and along with many others, because this is just one way that they're attacking. We've got the WHO and the CDC pushing these bills. We've got their Boston Consulting Group telling our legislators how to redo our healthcare system, and we're paying millions of dollars for that information. That's not even true. But we have an article coming out about that as well with Palmetto State Watch. So I'll keep you updated on what happens, but be praying for South Carolina. And if this is your sign to get involved in your local state or in South Carolina, please take it, because we need to take it before it's too late. It's easy to look at the federal level and say there's a bunch of issues, but it's in your backyard. You're worried about what they're doing to Trump? Get worried about what they're about to do to you and what they can do to you now, because it's scary. Make sure to continue following along and keep you updated on everything going on. I'll also hopefully be covering in the future what they're doing to our energy, because they're attacking that as well. Trying to, our Republican supermajority and our Republican governor, he's pushing Biden initiatives all through South Carolina, not only with electric vehicles. Oh, it gets so much deeper than that. So stay tuned, keep looking, keep watching. And please, whatever you do, get involved before it's too late.